Good morning. The New Testament scripture today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow your trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, so that they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may give to the poor in secret. Your Father, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that is the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. The word of God for the people of God.
So for our guests this morning, we are in our third week of a message series titled Treasure. And we've been taking time to listen and wrestle with God's invitation to live a generous life. We began with the conversation of Jesus saying to the folks that would listen, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? That where our treasure is, our heart is inclined to be. And that in this, God wants us to know that we are God's treasure. God's heart is with every single one of us. And God desires for that to be reciprocal in our lives. That God be our treasure. That's where our heart be. Last week we considered Jesus' statement about reality in this world. For no one can serve two masters, right? How many of us try to serve two different masters? We've got multiple masters that are pulling at our lives. There is a reality of choice that in times we will serve one master over the other. Yet God wants us to focus our lives on Him as our soul master and let all other things flow in relationship to that. This week we're going to be searching through and doing some soul searching and discovering our motivation around giving. Because there's a wrong motive to give, and there's a right motive for us to give. You see, I believe that God desires for all of us to give as an activity of honor and praise. That we do so because we recognize that God is the giver and the sustainer of all of our lives. And so our giving is born out of that as our motive. That we want to come and honor God, and that we want to participate in something that's far beyond ourselves, in this transformative work of God that's going on in the world around us. That there's no better use for our treasure than participating in the things of God that's going on here and beyond. If only we would be convinced of this. If only it was our reality, our experience. How many of you remember exactly where you were on that Sunday in October of 1985 when the Royals crushed the Cardinals in Game 7? Do you remember exactly where you were in that moment? Right? I was assigned to Mountain Home Air Force Base in Mountain Home, Idaho. Woohoo! Great place to be, you know. But I remember coming home from a church meeting on that Sunday night. I walked in, turned the TV on, to my amazement to see that the Royals were winning 11-0. They put it on the Cardinals. Amen? Our few Royals fans are here today, right? Some of us remember exactly where we were in that moment. Others of you don't remember because you weren't alive yet. Right? Some of you, 1985, you weren't even a gleam in mom and dad's eyes. Yeah? You know, you're babes among us, right? So you might remember last year about this time. Kansas City was playing the Oakland Athletics. And it looked like the game was over about the seventh, eighth inning, right? Almost all of us probably had written the season off. It was a well-played season, but it's almost over. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in extra innings, and Salvador Perez hits one down the third base line. Royals win, and off we go all the way to the World Series. Some of you might remember exactly where you were, right? Funny thing of it is, I can remember where I was in 1985, but I can't remember where I was last year. Short-term memory issues, to which some of you might agree, others of you might laugh at, right? So how many of you remember where you were on Monday? No? Nobody remembers where they were on Monday? Monday afternoon, any of you listening to the baseball game Monday afternoon, right? We found ourselves in the exact same scenario, seventh inning of the ball game, right? Good old Correa hits a home run. Colby Rasmus follows that up with a solo home run. Margaret and I are coming home from Columbia. We'd been over to an insurance presentation because they're changing our insurance program this year. We're driving home. I was ready to turn the channel by the time Correa hit the home run, and when Rasmus did, I did change the channel. I was listening to 94.9 for a while, right? But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I have an application on my iPhone. It is MLB's At Bat. And about 10 minutes later, it beeped to let me know that the Royals were rallying to score a run, two runs, three runs, four runs. We tied the game, five runs. We took the lead. Next thing you know, Hosmer hits a bomb in the ninth inning, and we survived the Astros. Amen. And off we go. You think about the things where you find yourself in life. You're participating in these moments. But these moments are far beyond you and me. They're experiences. We get to be a part of it, but only from afar in what transpires. I think about the team, though. As the team gathers around in this moment, no single individual could win that game on Monday. It took the whole team participating in something far beyond any single one of them, rallying around together to have this experience and to continue into their mission, their vision, what they wanted to accomplish for this year. I wonder for our own lives, how many of us have stories in our own lives where we can think about and we can talk about participating in something that is bigger than ourselves? The contributions that we gave, accumulated with many others to accomplish something grand in the world around us. How many of us have never experienced something like that? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4 recounts the story of Abraham and Sarah. Two old people in the Old Testament that had no children. They were 90 and 80 years of age when God visited them and told them that they would have children more numerous than the stars. Their descendants would be so multiplied that you would not be even able to count them. And I can imagine Abraham and Sarah saying to God, "Yeah, right." Yeah? 90 and 80 years of age. A decade later, God has fulfilled that very vision in Abraham. He has blessed Abraham through Sarah with the son Isaac, and through Sarah's handmaiden Hagar, Ishmael. And now, centuries later, Abraham's lineage is too numerous to count. Paul says that the amazing thing of their story is that Abraham and Sarah gave God all the credit for what transpired. They could not start a family on their own. God blessed them with children. This community, this covenant community, they could not start on their own. It was God's doing in them and through them. And they participated in something that became larger than themselves. This blessing to all the world. And maybe for each of us, that's the key to living the way God wants us to live. Is that life is not primarily about ourselves and the small, significant things that we are part of and hold into ourselves, but rather the primary aspect of life is to be part of something that's bigger than each and every one of us. That God wants to use us for these grander purposes as well. And from that, we praise God. we give God the credit for all things that transpire. It's evident in Jesus' day that religion had its flashy, its showy kinds of aspects. Otherwise, Jesus probably would not tell the stories that he does in Matthew. You know, it makes you wonder if Jesus turned on the television today and watched some of our religious programming, what would his words be? It might be some of what we read today. He might have talked about our own flashy showiness. Evidently, in Jesus' day, the religious people would come to Herod's temple. They would stand up and they would pray in public. They were eloquent speakers. They spoke loudly enough that the crowds around could overhear through the din and the noise of everyday conversations. And Jesus says their prayers were for show. They were to gain the praise of the people who would pass by. Jesus says, go and pray in private. Meaning the focus of your prayer should not be receiving praises from people for your oratory skills, for your ability to put this prayer together and say it in public. Rather, your focus should be on connecting with God. That be the purpose of your prayer, to do it in private. Not for show. Some of the religious people also came to the temple and they gave of their tithes and they gave of their offerings. One of the offerings was to help the poor. But it's interesting, in Herod's temple, we think of a collection box, much as we think of our own, maybe a couple of plates that are passed. But it's not the same. The collection box was contiguous with the court of women. It was part of the temple structure itself. And actually, it wasn't one collection box. It was 13 different collection boxes. And each one of them had a brass trumpet, kind of a tubular trumpet, that funneled down into the collection box. And they would come in and they would give their offerings, pouring them into this brass and listening to the noise that it would make as it would funnel down into the collection box. Over each one of these was a little sign, and each sign stipulated what that particular box supported in its collection for the temple. Anybody have in mind designated giving all of a sudden? You think about designated gifts and how we do that? That's what the temple structure was, is it was designated giving. And the goal for many was to come in with their spare change, pour it into the horn, listen to the noise, and look around at the crowd to see if anybody else noticed their giving, their gifts. Jesus said to them, give in secret. Give of your tithe and your charity as a private activity between you and God, not as a public spectacle, because the goal is to do God's work and to honor God in all things, not to receive the praise yourself. Jesus wasn't very polite, though, in these words. He didn't call them the religious of his day. He called them, do you remember the term? Hypocrites is the term that Jesus used. That's what we translate it to be. Actually, the term means stage actor. That's what the literal Hebrew is. It infers that the people performed religious acts with their eyes on the crowd. They watched the crowd's response for the approval that they could gain, the words of praise, the accolades that they received for these activities of prayer and giving. And Jesus reorients the crowd that's listening, wants to reorient their focus, to remind them that their audience is to be God and that they should recognize that the purpose in these things is to be held righteous before God, not to be praised by the people. To exercise their faith as a way of honoring God and to be a part of something grander, bigger than themselves. You know, I wonder what that means for each of us as we think about this today. The purpose or the lesson that we might learn from this ourselves. Maybe the first is for us to understand that the real goal of all of our lives is to honor God. In everything we should do it to honor God, not ourselves. I think about the most generous person that very few of us ever met or knew. How many of you remember Secret Santa? and heard about the guy that was a secret Santa here in Kansas City. Ran around for years giving generously to people during the holiday season. He gave money away, and he did so as anonymously as he possibly could. Every year you'd hear the stories on the news about him, but I never met him. I didn't know his name personally. You contrast that with people who have made known their willingness to give money away and how they announce that for others to know about it. I would caution us that our act of giving should be to honor God, not ourselves. And I think about people who participate in things that are much bigger than themselves as well. You know, I recognize that 10-plus years ago, the financial landscape of St. John's was not a very healthy financial picture. It was Pastor Kyle, Marie just slipped in a moment ago, but Kyle, when he got here, recognized that something needed to be done to shore up our financial situation as a church. And through his leadership and your faithfulness as a community of people, you developed a solid financial landscape that empowered the church to move beyond an inner circle focus to a focus of the world around us. To think of things that we could do in and with the community of faith and the people beyond our walls of our church. To sponsor an Easter egg hunt in Arno Park where we could have 100-plus kids from the community come and celebrate with us and enjoy some time just gathering around as people who want to celebrate the Easter tradition. Or 85 kids who come to VBS and wear out all of our volunteers in a week's period of time. Amen for you volunteers, right? But yet to come on the Sunday after and see the celebration of it with 100-plus adults and kids and many of them not part of our community of faith and to enjoy the worship aspect of that, but then to go out and have a little food, a little fun with them, and some Kona ice. Amen? Right? Everybody loves shaved ice with liquid syrup and sugar. You know, especially the kids. But it goes beyond that. A couple of weeks ago, we had our homecoming rally day, and many of us had an opportunity just to gather for food and fellowship in the parking lot, eat a little barbecue, a little American fusion, have some more Kona ice on top of that, right? The fellowship that goes along with it. And now as we think about the weekend to come, on Sunday afternoon to do trunk or treat and to invest in the community around us, all of these things are possible because we are generous people. We are honoring God with the gifts that we have. Some of you might notice that we have new paraments up on the sanctuary, the chancel this morning, right? This is because of the generosity of the community of faith that we are able to invest in these kinds of things. Now I just got to find the $40 to buy a steamer, so I can get the lines and the wrinkles out of all of them, right? You know, kind of thing. But this is because of the generosity of a community of people willing to participate in something that will honor God and be bigger than themselves. You know, our church history is filled with people who have done this, have left this legacy for every single one of us. People who have thought about giving and honoring God through their lifetime and beyond their own life. They are names like Alma and Phil Morlock. They are names like the Corshots, Al Rector, and many, many others who have given generously while they were alive and beyond. And I'm aware that there's many contemporaries here who have that same legacy planned in their lives to give to the church while they are here and far beyond their lives physically and spiritually. Next Sunday after this service, we're going to take an opportunity to recognize a couple who I think for many of us exemplified this kind of life. In the mid-1970s, there was a family of five who moved to the Kansas City area from St. Louis. It was a transfer for the husband. He came over here to work for an organization. They transferred their church membership from St. John's United Methodist Church in St. Louis to St. John's United Methodist Church in Kansas City. I guess they were stuck on the name or something, I don't know. But they found a community of faith here where they could raise their kids, they could give of their time, their talent, and their treasure, and they did so generously even in their retirement years all the way until the end. And unannounced, they worked into their estate planning arrangements to name St. John's as their fourth child. We received an endowment of $252,000 plus some change that was invested on our behalf from this family because they thought of their legacy while they were alive and beyond. The annual receipt from this investment, if the endowment continues to trend the way that it does, will actually net about a 30% gain over their annual giving that they gave while they were alive. So next Sunday after this service, we're going to take an opportunity to honor Clarice and Elmer Dennis for their loving generosity while they were alive and the legacy that they have left their community of faith. A young pastor and author from Nashville, Tennessee, his name is Jacob Armstrong, wrote, he said, "It's a powerful thing to know that your life is playing a role in something bigger than you." It's a powerful thing to know that your life is playing a part in something bigger than yourself. Every single one of us, I believe, has been taught the lessons. We've heard sermons over the years about tithing and giving and being generous of our time and our talent and our treasures. But how many of us conceive this in a way where we understand that we're participating in something bigger than ourselves? You see, that's the invitation today. To understand that each and every one of us, as we give, we participate in something that's larger than just you and me. For we participate in the grand vision of God. So hear the invitation today to give. To give in a way that honors God in your life and to do so knowing that you're participating in something far beyond what you could ever imagine or conceive. So here's what I hope you hear today is, as you go from this moment. For all of us to be reminded that we have witnessed events in our lives, we've had experiences of things that are bigger than ourselves. And Jesus said that we should be a people who give generously as an act of honoring God and as a way of participating in what God is doing in the world around us. To be a part of that, that we can be a part of that if we enact a plan in our lives. To participate in the giving of our time, our talent, and our treasure as a way of honoring God and being a part of something bigger than ourselves. So ask yourself today, in this moment of invitation, how do you give? What is your motive behind your giving? Is it to honor yourself in some capacity, or do you give to honor God, the one who is the sustainer, the giver of all things in your life? If it's for any reason other than that, maybe in this invitation we take a moment to confess and to pray and to ask God to reorient our own hearts and lives that we might give in righteousness, that we might give in a way that honors God. Or to think about your own purpose in giving and to hear the invitation that all of us are invited to give so that we might participate in something that's much bigger than any single one of us. And to make a commitment to do so today, to commit to give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. For God desires all of us to give as an activity of honor and praise of God, recognizing Him as the one who is the giver and the sustainer of all things. God desires for all of us to participate in something that's much bigger than just ourselves. To be a part of this transformative work of God in the world. And to know that there's no better use for any of our treasure than the things that God has in mind and envisions. So would you join me now in our time of prayer? Almighty God, source of all life, giver of all that is good, we gather to offer our praise and our thanks. In the richness of our lives, we stop to take measure, and often it is more than we can comprehend. We have blessings of joy and hope, the challenge of our labor and the luxury of our leisure. And we know that your world is full of wonder and its beauty delights us. And so we praise your generosity, and we also confess. We confess that so often we are ungenerous receivers. There are times where we are slow to share and yet quick to squander. We may take for granted what we have while anticipating more. We pray, O God, that you give us an awareness of our blessings so that we will share joyously and live responsibly, that we might honor you through our righteous activities. Give us a sense of self-worth so that getting does not usurp other values. For all your goodness, let us express our gratitude by genuinely caring for our world through the grace of Jesus Christ. So we ask, O God, that you teach us to honor you first in our generosity, that you show us the potential of being a part of something bigger